Let's open the Word of the Lord for a couple of minutes tonight. I want to share something with you from my heart. Something that we kind of live, experience, and I think you'll be blessed tonight if you just open up and be willing to let Jesus flash a light in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. Amen. Thank God for His Word tonight. Hallelujah. If you have it, say amen. Scripture says, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son. Amen. And Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Amen. God, we thank You for the Word of the Lord. Amen. We thank You, Jesus, for Your heart, for Your wisdom and understanding tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Not much is said about Abram or Abraham's father, but there's enough said here tonight that suggests something to us. And as I was reading this one day, several weeks ago, something just jumped off the pages to me, and a statement came into my mind and in prayer, and that was simply, don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you. I heard it as clear as day. Can't say it was an audible voice, but you know when you're following God and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you know how to hear His voice. And sometimes it's the best way to explain it is sort of like an impression that's spoken to your spirit, heard in your mind, and sometimes that voice of God can speak a novel just in one impression. And I don't know how He does it, but He does it. Looking at this scripture tonight, there's some speculation that we'll have to insert into this that's simply theory, because we don't know the whole story of this man's life. We don't know why he was picking up his family. He was leaving one of his sons, Nahor, behind in Ur of the Chaldees. And he was taking Abraham, or Abram at the time, his wife Sarai, and Lot, the son of Haran, his youngest son, which had died in Ur of the Chaldees. And he was going to Canaan land. And if you notice in just reading the scripture, if you just read it to yourself, scripture says they went forth with them to go into the land of Canaan. And then it says, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And then it just stops there and finishes and concludes for this man by saying, in the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So right off the bat, we realize he never made it to Canaan land. He did not make it to Canaan land. Haran here is still in Mesopotamia. It's some distance away from Ur of the Chaldees, but it is not Canaan land. So he never made it to Canaan land. The big question came to me as, why? The scripture says he was picking up everybody to go to Canaan land. But he came onto this particular place and he dwelt there. So it doesn't say he pit stopped for a Coke and a French fry on his way. The scripture says he dwelt there. That meant he set up living quarters. I think we're all acquainted with, in our walk with God, things trying to stop us. There are always going to be obstacles. And we could just name the list tonight of what those types of things could be. They can be trials, they can be tribulations, they can be setbacks, they can be what I'm going to refer to tonight as showstoppers. They can be discouragement, they can be failures, they can be tragedies, personal tragedies, family tragedies. Terah had one of these, and we're going to speculate around that tragedy tonight just to bring out something that's being said in the Scripture. God only knows why he was there, and I'm not concluding that he was a sinner and disobedient for being there, but you got to wonder, why did God even bother putting this in His Word? You know, why tell us that Terah took his family to go but never made it there? Why didn't it just start with chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord spoke unto Abram, saying, get you out of your father's house, from your kindred to a land that I will show you. So that settles the concept that he never made it to Canaan, because he wouldn't have asked Abram to get out from his country if he was already where he was going to lead him to go. And of course, in the long run picture, we do realize that God was taking Abraham somewhere beyond Canaan land. as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, that he looked for a city which hath foundations. And so the promises of God are always beyond the natural. He asks us in this life to serve him, to walk with him, to obey his truth, but we don't see all things as yet. You know, he gives us the earnest of his spirit and says, follow me. And as the word teaches, we walk by faith and not by sight, which simply is a scripture referring to the fact that we are living with our mortality and we do not yet, we have not yet experienced our mortality being swallowed up by immortality. So we walk by faith. He's taking us somewhere. So we know that it's beyond just the doors of the church house, but we come because we're going somewhere. Praise God. It's like the song Don Johnson sings, I'm marching towards heaven, I'm glory land bound. No earthly attraction's going to turn me around. I'm shouting the victory as I go on my way. I'll be living in splendor in my new home someday. Amen. If that's not enough to cause you to want to come to church, you don't have nothing to come to church with anyhow. Hallelujah. And I don't say that in meanness. I just say that find yourself. And that's what we're talking about here tonight. We're talking about where we dwell as people of God. Where we find ourselves because of these showstoppers. Scripture we've got to insert in here. It's very, very important for us to understand the concept. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9 says, Paul speaking, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. We just got to understand something. Even if we don't like it, God delivers to us open doors. And we've got to accept the fact that there are going to be some adversaries. You know, there's that other song that sings, you know, beyond the open door, there's a new and fresh anointing. And that's all you think about. You think about going beyond the open door, taking a step higher in God. And we think about that. And then when we go for it, the adversary shows up. And so what happened to the goosebumps of the song? What happened when, you know, the four-piece quartet singing beyond the open door and you're just going, woo, hallelujah. And you're just feeling it. And that's great. We all love that. We all get caught away with that because that's what music, singing unto the Lord, does for us. But what happens when we start walking through that open door? We expect so much and then we don't expect what we get sometimes. But it doesn't mean the door's not open. And it doesn't mean there's not victory behind that door. And it doesn't mean there's not strength lying ahead. What it does mean is how far are you willing to go? Are you willing to let a haran stop you? Hallelujah. All right, let's backtrack to Mr. Tira. And I'm probably not saying his name right. I looked it up in the Hebrew, but it doesn't matter right now. You can look it up if you want to say it someplace different. The scripture says that he lost his youngest son in the land of his nativity. I can just imagine tonight any father losing a son and then feeling like living after that, feeling like going on. What I want you to understand is that this man came to this place and he stopped. He dwelt there when the scripture gives us the impression that he was going somewhere beyond this local area that just happened to bear the same name of his son. Along the way, we get reminders of both good and bad. And when I'm speculating tonight, I'm not saying this is the reason why he stopped, but let's just assume tonight that he came to Haran and he couldn't get his mind off of his dead son. I don't know if God called his father to Canaan first. I don't know if God said, you know, Tira, go and go to a land that I will show you. I have no idea. We can only theorize in saying that he did. What I do know is God put two verses of scripture that suggest to us that he was going somewhere and he did not make it there. And what God is saying to us is if you go somewhere with God, make sure you make it there. God will see you through. You're going to have obstacles. You're going to have struggles and trials. And yes, even tragedy is going to come and we're going to have to face that. And I'm not here to be impersonal tonight or to give you the impression that I don't care. We do care. We understand it hurts. Anything like that will cause us to feel inside, I don't feel like going on. I don't feel like getting up and going in the morning. It takes a lot of effort to overcome some of these things. You understand why he was here, maybe? Praise God. Same reason why we're where we are sometimes. Hey, when you fail in life after you've tried, you don't feel like getting up again. You don't feel like trying again. What happens? You just feel like dwelling somewhere for a while. It may not be exactly where you're supposed to be, but it feels safe. Sometimes we just like dwelling in personal sorrow. We like dwelling in feeling despair. We like dwelling in our discouragement. It's human nature. We do very well when things go wrong to build ourselves a nice big castle, a temple to worship in that says, I'm a failure. And it takes a whole lot of effort to get back up and feel like going again. So that's where we are in Genesis chapter 11. But if we want to move on, if we want to hear the voice of God, we've got to understand that we serve a God who's always on the move. We serve a God who is a God of progression. We serve a God who is a God of victory. He's a God of love, and He's not going to stop dealing with you until you're willing to pick up from Haran, your Haran, and go where He wants you to go. Amen. Would you clap your hands to the Lord? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let me go a little further tonight. And I'm coming, you know, close to halfway here. I just want to take a few extra minutes than what I normally, just to share something with you. Because in our walk with God, you be quiet. Praise God. In our walk with God, it's easy to preach a message like this. I know it is. Because we've all been there, and maybe some of us still are. I'm talking not just to here locally, but we're speaking globally to a lot of people that can come to church, and if we're not careful, we can just go through the motions of Pentecost. And we've learned church. We know what to do. We do it all the time. But if we're not careful, we can build a comfortable zone of our own little Haran that causes us to go no further than a hallelujah and an amen once in a while. When the Lord wants to, yes, take us into fresh new waters. He has a fresh anointing. And the adversary might be just your own personal fear of not having worshiped God really good in a long time. Maybe you haven't spoke with other tongues in a long time and you're just afraid to do it. Dear Lord, you have a prayer room at home. Spend time there, overcoming yourself, so that when you can come to the church, we can be added blessings to the service. We can be added blessings because we're not coming to church all bound up and all filled with despair and discouragement. And we haven't built houses and offered sacrifice to our despair and our failures and our tragedies. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to Philippians 3. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians 3, verses 13 through 15. And we're going to go a little further about what we can do to remedy our own little Haran so that it doesn't end up like this with us. In the days of Tiro were 205 years, and he died in Haran. That's all we read about him after that. He went somewhere, he dwelt there, and he died there. And isn't it interesting that when we read chapter 12, we read God calling Abraham out of a place he should have already been in. Hey, remember, when you decide to go somewhere, you take people with you. If you're a child of God, if you're a parent, remember, it's important that you listen to God. Because where you end up and dwell, your kids are going to be with you. Make sure they're in the right place. Make sure they're dwelling in the right place. They'll dwell in the right place if you dwell in the right place. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. We're privileged tonight to go beyond the traditions of theology and comprehend that Jesus Christ hewed out of the Father a dwelling place for us. Right now, not just heaven someday, but he caused this place to be for us now so that we could be with him forever. That place is called Christ. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord opened up his side and said, come on in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Father and the Son. Amen. The Word manifest in the flesh. And give all those syllables out that just mean everything. Amen. The Word of God, what God had done for us. All right. And we're going to move into talking a little bit about how God loves us so much. I think it brings out a little extra meaning to me about John 3:16 than just a memory verse or a traditional verse to talk about whatever people talk about. Amen. Verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and pressing and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Key word, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press, hear what he's saying, and make sure you adopt the same philosophy. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. Not the preacher's going to press for me tonight because I've had a long day. No, God is looking at you and where you are dwelling and where I am dwelling, and He's asking, are you pressing? Are you pressing? Or are you just dwelling somewhere? Are you coming to the church and just dwelling in the fact that everything's gone wrong? Nothing ever goes right. Wrong things are happening in my family. Or are you coming to church with a pressing toward mentality that says, Haran may be for some people, but it's not for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We got too much. Amen. I press toward the mark. Why? For the prize of what? The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. What minded? To press toward the mark. To forget those things which are behind. Praise God. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And I hope that if you are otherwise minded, you will let Him reveal it to you. Amen. The word forgetting is an important word here. It's part of letting go of a Haran. The word forget here, if you just read it in its context, you realize it doesn't mean bump into a pole and say, oh, I forgot my name. It's a lot deeper than that. It suggests a losing, a letting go of, a neglecting. Praise God. Paul was talking about all the things that he counted gain to him. He said he suffered it as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of God. He said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. He said, I am hiding myself away from what used to be God to me. I am losing out of my mind. I am neglecting the things that are keeping me in my little Haran. You may be filled with tragedy tonight, and we mourn with you, and we understand anyone's human feelings for not feeling like living day to day. When you've lost a mother or a father, a sister, a brother, a spouse, a son or a daughter, it's only natural that it cuts to the heart. And it just takes the sap right out of you. And you don't feel like moving on. And you don't feel like pressing. And you don't feel like praying. You feel like just staying right where you are. But at some point in that particular position that you're in, can you ask yourself, can I get up from where I am and start moving on? I've had some trouble with church people. Some people have lied about me. I've had all sorts of circumstances that I've had to deal with. And maybe you're out there not going to church. Maybe you're not living for God like you once were. You're in your little Haran. What God is asking you is, can you forget? Can you enter in to how God forgot your sin the first time? See, this forgetting those things which are behind is actually an exact equal to how God remembers our sins and our iniquities no more. You ever wonder how God can forget our sin and not remember them, and when we come worshiping boldly before His throne, that He's not looking at a sinner but a saint? Why is it that He's looking at the blood of Jesus Christ? Why is it that He's looking at a righteous child? Why is He not looking at the sin? Because something has been superimposed over your life. Something has taken the place. At some point, you and God worked out a forgetting deal where He removed from you, as far as the east is from the west, your transgressions. That's why we preach about being free from sin. We have to. We cannot preach true apostolic doctrine without preaching liberty from sin. Impossible. Impossible. It's impossible to please God if you're still living in your sin. Jesus Christ came to destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. He came to destroy the works of sin. Now, if He came to destroy something you keep holding on to, there's some contradiction happening there somewhere. Amen. So look at the concept here tonight of forgetting those things which are behind, that at some point where we find ourselves, if we have stopped somewhere, if we have fallen short, if we have neglected the wrong things, we need to start neglecting the right things and start reaching forth unto the right things. Our forgetting those things which are behind are letting things go. And it may be tough to let go of a grudge, but a grudge is going to keep you out of the promised land. It may be tough to let go of hatred, but hatred is going to keep you out of the promised land. Hatred is going to cause you to let go of God's hand and pick up another hand. And God's going to keep on walking while you stay still. Hallelujah. When the Word says, stand still and see the salvation, it's not talking about what you're doing when you can't let go of the feelings of your failure. You've even got to let go of your failure and forget your failure because it's behind you. It's something in the back. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Too many people living on a church pew in truth, discouraged, unhappy, defeated. That's not the will of God. You ought to be in your chair bouncing up and down, praising the Lord, saying, hallelujah, God's good anyhow. Hey, if Uncle Homer can do it, you can too. Hallelujah. I don't mean to be yelling. I'm almost through. But I wanted to kind of drill home this meaning of forgetting because it's a very powerful word. When you superimpose something, you put something over something else. Doesn't the Scripture say, blessed is the man whose transgressions, whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sin is covered? That's why he doesn't see iniquity in me, because I'm covered by the blood. And you're covered by the blood. Hallelujah. Jesus and you did some forgetting. Praise God. And we have to reach into the same principle that God used to forget our sin, where the Scripture says, your sins and your iniquities in Hebrews chapter 10, I will remember them no more. Look, that ought to be reason enough for you to come boldly to the throne, because He's not remembering what you were. He's looking at what you are now. Even if we possess bad memories of the past, the bad memories of the past does not mean that's what you are in the present. Hallelujah. We need to come boldly. I'm washed. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. Hallelujah. I'm clean. Praise God. Dear God. Simple stuff. Hallelujah. No detours tonight. Don't detour. Don't exit off the road. We're marching towards heaven. We're glory lamb out. We've got to. We're striving according to the Holy Ghost. We've got to make it all the way home. Hallelujah. Amen. As it's written in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. You know what that means? It means you've got to fight. It means you've got to look at your surroundings, and if, dear God, you haven't been praying in a while, you have to stand up and you start have to flexing and stretching and pulling those spiritual muscles and start calling on God. It doesn't matter how cold your prayer room is, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Amen. You professed a good profession in the past, profess it even now. Praise God. Lay hold. That takes effort. Amen. It takes a discomfort. Praise God. It takes a pebble in your shoe to say, I'm not comfortable with my little Haran. Hey, I prayed good yesterday. I think I can pray a little better today. I prayed 5 minutes yesterday. I think I can pray 10 today. I'm discouraged right now, but I think I could be encouraged in about 5 minutes. You believe you can be encouraged that fast? As you go on your knees and discover the Holy Ghost that you're filled with? Don't you believe that you can pour water out in the midst of your despair? In the midst of your tragedy? Don't you think God can turn the tables? Look, our soul got to keep moving. All right. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Turn there for a moment so you can read it. Praise the Lord. And I'm closing. Thank you. Hallelujah. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you. Okay, I'll say it again in case you're not hearing. Don't let anything stop you. That means something's going to try and stop you. So you don't let anything stop you. You fight a good fight of faith. You keep the faith. Why? Because faith is a shield that quenches the fiery darts of discouragement, the fiery darts of failure, the fiery darts of persecution, the fiery darts of, oh God, not again. You know, it's not a thing to discourage yourself with. Look, Paul knew there were going to be adversaries. And that's why he had a problem with John Mark, because he knew he was going to get beat up a little, probably. Possibly. Not that he was wanting that. But he knew that he was facing some barbaric people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to know if someone wasn't just going to shout and praise God about an open door. To know that after you walk through the open door, there's effort. For even Nehemiah built the wall of Jerusalem again because it was in his heart, but not without an adversary. There was some Sanballat and Tobias, praise God, that were there to get in the way. So if you understand this, then knowing is half the battle. Isn't that right? If you understand they're there, you watch and pray. And you see, okay, they're there, but guess what? I'm still walking through the door. Yeah. So you're there at the door saying, yeah, you come in, we'll beat your head in. Fine, you walk through the door. If they try, you know, give a little fire back. I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. War, good warfare. All right, Hebrews 4 and 1 says, let us therefore fear. Let us therefore fear. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I'm talking to the people of God tonight. That any of us should fall short in our unbelief and build a Haran of unbelief that says, you know, God's just not God anymore. It's a different day. It's a different hour. We need a different doctrine, and the apostles' doctrine don't work anymore. I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm saying tonight, let us therefore fear, lest the promise of us of entering into His rest. Tira should have never stopped. We wouldn't read verse 31 and 32 if he just went to Canaan. I don't know where you're dwelling tonight. You can't even dwell in fear of, I'm not sure if I can live this, because that's not of God. The Scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's in the Bible. We say it a lot. Romans 14, I believe it's the last verse. Read it. It's there. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You've got to believe you can live this thing, because Jesus Christ gives you the power. Now I finish with this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know why He gave His only begotten Son? To help you forget. Hallelujah. He gave His only begotten Son to help you forget. That when you're in your little world of whatever you're going through, He poured out the love of God through the Son of God to help you forget. Forget the way God forgets. To put away iniquity from you, as He did for David after he went into Bathsheba. Isn't that what's written in the Word of God? The Lord has put away your iniquity. Jesus Christ came into the world to help you forget. You are filled with the Holy Ghost so that you can reach into that in prayer so He can help you forget. Let it go. Let it go. And the other meaning to that is to be hid. Part of that forgetting is to be hid. You see, He hides sin from us, and we hide from it in Him. In the secret of His tabernacle, Psalm 27, shall He hide me? He shall set me up upon a rock. We are hid with Christ. Where? In God. Hallelujah. Where are we hidden tonight? In God. What are we hidden from? Those things that want to keep us. Amen. Still, keep us from not moving. Keep our life stagnant. Keep us discouraged and unhappy. Hide yourself away. Hey, when discouragement comes, hide from it. Amen. Let's stand and give God some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your God. Praise your God tonight. He loves you. He loves you. He loves us all. Hallelujah. He really is concerned about what you're going through. He loves you so much. He sent His Son to help you forget. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Love the Word of God. It's got to be more than something you just memorize. When we're able to say, oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day, that's coming from the throne of your heart. I love His Word. It keeps me. Hallelujah. It warns me. It guides me. It says, hey, there's a Haran over there, Brother Joe. Don't go that way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I've hidden it so it can keep me forgetting the things that want to hold me down in my mortality. Praise the Lord. Again, clap your hands to Him. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Hallelujah.
I was blessed.
Praise the Lord.
How about you? Yeah. Ain't God good? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Excellent. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's come around the front and just praise the Lord for a moment. Everybody, just spend a little time in praise, giving God honor, giving God the glory that's due to His name. Amen. After the word like that, it's just good to let God refresh us. Amen. If you haven't been blessed in a while that you know of, let God bless you now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. God, we love you. We thank you. We want to praise you, Lord, for your word. We want to thank you, Lord, for the blessing of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus.